Hi guys, so the EV versus ICE debate rages on. So I am right now in a Toyota BZ4X, and this is of course Toyota's first full-fledged electric vehicle. They share the vehicle with Subaru, so it's also branded as a Subaru as well. And it was a post that I put up with this car. So actually right now I'm sitting here charging. I came here at about 30%. It's already gone up to 40% in about 5 minutes, although it's telling me a full time for full charge is 1 hour 35 minutes. I'm at a Genie Point charger at Morrison's near me. At 40%, it's giving me a 94 mile range. I think if I can get up to 80-85%, then that should be fine. So while I'm doing that, I thought let me touch on something that's gone a bit crazy on my Facebook page. So that's facebook.com/browncarguy. So I got this car on a Thursday last week. Today is Wednesday. So I didn't drive the car. I drove it the following day, which was Friday. So it was delivered to my place. I didn't drive it. I drove it on the following day, which was the Friday. That was the first day that I drove the car. And here in the UK, if you remember, that was Friday, what, the 8th or 9th or something like that. It was one of the hot of September. It was one of the hottest days that we've had. I mean, temperatures were, I think, 30 degrees plus centigrade, that is, you know. So it's very hot. So I went out somewhere, I parked the car, came back to the car, and of course I had to whack on the climate control. That seemed to gobble up about 31 miles of the indicated range on the car, just by switching it on to full. And I posted that video because I thought, oh, that's quite interesting, you know. And I posted that video, and that thing has gone a little bit crazy. Why? I'll tell you right after this. A brown car. Okay, so in that video, so let me just first of all be absolutely clear. Like all of my stuff, it's authentic. You know, I'm not trying to, let me just be clear. There's no agenda, right? I'm not anti-EV. I'm not necessarily pro-EV. I am pro-car, all cars. You know, and to me, EVs are just another car. You know, I'm not prejudiced to what type of fuel it's running. I assess them as a motoring journalist. I assess them as a car. I assess them for fitness of purpose and to see which car is suitable for what kind of person and what kind of scenario. That's what I do. Right car, right person, right situation. That's what I'm trying to do. Right? So I'm not anti-EV in any sense whatsoever. But of course, EVs are still a relatively new thing. I do not own an EV. I don't envisage owning an EV anytime soon, because whilst I live in London, as you can see, I'm here at a public charger because I don't have a home charger. I live in a flat or an apartment, and there's no way for me to charge the car at home. So it's extremely inconvenient. I have to come out here, spend an hour here to do this. So there's no way that I would own it. So I don't own one, but every now and then I get one on review. I go on launches. I've just come back from yesterday. I did a BYD Dolphin launch. That review is now live on my channel. Go check it out. And the point is that it's a new experience for all of us, and as for me as a journalist as well. Although to be honest, I've probably done more electric car reviews in the last year than I have in nearly 35 years of reviewing cars. So, you know, I've had a fair bit of experience now driving them and testing them, but not necessarily living with them over a longer term. And I don't see that I could really, like I said, because of my current set of circumstances. So when I get one of these cars and I'm trying it out and I'm experiencing it, then I want to share some of those experiences with my audience. So when I got into the car that day and it was really hot, and like I said, that's probably, I drove it to a place, I parked, I went off to do some stuff, then I came back to the car was really hot, I was really hot, jumped in the car, switched it on, this car, and then saw the mileage was on 220, I think it was, and it dropped to 189 or something like that. Anyway, it's on the original video. In fact, let me show you the original video. This is the mileage range showing in an EV, and it's a really hot day, so I've got to turn on the climate control. 19 degrees, it's nice and cool, cool seats are on, and look at how much range has changed just by turning that on. So that's what, 31 miles? I know there's a lot smarter people out there than me in terms of mathematics. Can anybody do me a favor and work out what is the range that you would lose if you kept the AC on full on a petrol car? Thanks a lot. Right, so that's what happened, and that's what genuinely happened, you know. And I thought, well, that's quite interesting. So I posted that, you know. And the reason I posted that, I was like, okay, well, I mean, we lose range on an EV if we do that. How much would we lose on a petrol car? Because obviously, on a petrol or diesel car, certainly on a petrol car, you would also lose range. You know, I lived in the Middle East. We run AC all the time, and of course, you know that the AC saps power. And I remember way, way back growing up in Saudi Arabia in the 80s, and our boost button on our cars used to be the AC button. So when we were getting into street races and stuff like that, not anything that I condone, but you know, those were different times. You know, you'd turn off the AC when you needed a little bit more punch from the engine, because you knew that that would give you a little bit more power. So we know about this, right? So I know that the internal combustion engine will also use it. So it was a genuine question. I was like, okay, can anybody out there help me in trying to figure out how this compares? You know, how an EV would compare to an internal combustion engine car in terms of, you know, putting the AC on full. Now, I emphasize AC on full because actually, yesterday I went to that event that I talked about, the drive event for the BYD. On the way back on the road, I did the same thing again. I turned the AC on, but yesterday was much milder. It was also raining yesterday. It's a bit like today. It wasn't that hot. It's much milder day. But I moved onto the motorway, so I closed the windows and I wanted to whack the thing on. Right, when I did that, and so I had it off, closed the windows, I turned it on, and I noticed the range only dropped by about 12 miles. So there's definitely a difference there, maybe because the car was moving, but I think more likely because it was very, very hot that day. Temperatures, like I said, above 30, probably the temperature of the car was about 30 because it had been sitting in the sun. And so it had probably gone into maximum setting or something, and that's what it was doing. So the original video that I put up, I said that that was a 14% difference. I think even yesterday I lost about 12 miles. At the time, I had a range of about 120 miles, so I would say that that's still actually 10%. Now, to be fair, a lot of people did actually respond very positively to my post, and in fact, I put that same video up onto Facebook, which is what I'm talking about, but I also put it onto YouTube, I also put it onto Instagram, and I also put it onto TikTok. The most responses I got were obviously on Facebook, but the second most responses I got were on YouTube. And to be fair, on YouTube, and this is the thing, it's quite interesting because in the three other places, people generally took the video for what it was. It was a genuine question. It was a genuine bit of curiosity, and a lot of people actually tried to answer the question, and I'm very grateful for that. And a lot of people came, pretty much a lot of people said that an internal combustion engine car would probably lose about 8 to 10% of its range as well if you did that, turn the AC on full whack, you know. And and so the EV was 14%, but now having experienced it yesterday at about 10%, I'm saying, you know what, EVs and internal combustion engine probably on par. So visually you can see the range drop, so that's a little bit alarming, but in terms of how much it actually saps energy out of the car, it's probably on par. They're probably about the same. It may be like 1 or 2 degrees worse, but not really much difference in it. So that's the reality of that situation. But what I want to talk about here today is I want to talk about some of the responses that I got on the Facebook page. And I should just say that the high heat question is quite important for me and some of my audience, because some of my audience I still have from the Middle East. And of course, the Middle East now also is adopting the EV, and for them this is a big question. And of course, over there, AC is essential. Climate control is essential, because you cannot drive without it, because you will die. You know, it's as simple as that. But anyway, so I posted it on all of these channels. But Facebook, I don't know what happened on Facebook. I don't know if it's been shared in a certain group. I know it has. I think it's had 8 or 9 shares there. So I don't know where it's been shared, but for some reason, you know, it got really, really quite crazy. Let me find some of the, just some of them. It's still, what is it on now? I think the last time I looked, it was on 250 comments, but it's rising all the time. So, you know, it's going crazy. So let me go through some of this stuff, right? And one of the ones I want to say, this is one of the ones that was posted yesterday. Aaron Johnson says, in response to my question, because you're static, moron. Once you start driving, the vehicle will regen on braking. Is it necessary? Is it necessary to call me a moron? I mean, it's a genuine question. Yeah, maybe because the car is static. Maybe that is. Maybe because it was a very hot day. There's a number of reasons, and we can discuss that, you know. And this is the important thing, that is important to discuss these things. So let me go back and look at some of the other comments. Right. Gavin Simmons. So many comments from people who don't understand how to use an EV. The guy in the video owns one and hasn't preconditioned the car before using it. It's laughable how sick people are when faced with new technology. And I responded, I stopped responding. I'm not responding to any of these now, but at the time, I think this was quite an early one. And I responded to a couple of them, and just to clarify, I said, it's not my car. And John Watkins had replied to that brown car guy, "That's no excuse." What do you mean it's no excuse? It's not my car. And let me just say my understanding of preconditioning in an EV. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, but this is my understanding of preconditioning an EV. Basically, it's down to the fact that you can preset the temperatures in the car before you get into the car. You can do that by various settings to the system itself through your app, most likely through your app. You can adjust it through your app. You can directly communicate to your car through the app that you have, and you can do that. And usually this is done. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that usually this is done because the car is at home and it's plugged in, or it's somewhere and it's plugged in. So it's plugged in, so whilst you're doing that, it's not draining power from the battery on the car. It's plugged in, so it's able to do that. Now, of course, that situation, I had gone somewhere, I had parked up the car, and then I came back to the car. The car was mega hot. I was mega hot. I jumped in the car like I would do with any petrol or diesel car. I jumped in and I whacked, like I've done millions of times in the Middle East. I jumped in, turned it on, and whacked up the AC. Because that's what you would do. Why should that be any different because I've got an EV? Why do I need to think about that 10 minutes before, but even if I could do that? Plus, I'm not going to download an app. I've just said it's not my car. It's not my car. I don't own it. I don't have to, you know, customize all the settings. I've only got it for a few days. I'm not going to download an app, you know? And think, a lot of people in this scenario, if they're renting a car, they're borrowing a car, it's a fleet car, whatever, you know, a lot of people may not do that. You know, there needs to be an ease of use. People need to understand that, you know, like one of the fundamental tests that I do in a car as a motoring journalist, and this was another motoring journalist who told me this years and years and years and years and years ago. He said, if you can't get into the car and, you know, within 5 minutes know how to drive off in it, there's a problem. If you can't figure out how to turn the radio on within 5 minutes, there's a problem with the car. So ergonomically, the car should be intuitive. You should be able to know how to do these things. You know, you shouldn't need to go away and read the manual to operate that vehicle, because if you do, then there's something fundamentally wrong with the design of that car. You know, and I maintain that, you know. And so Gavin Simmons didn't come back. This is the original guy. Hey, Gavin Simmons came back when I said, this is, you know, it's not my car. And he said, then don't drive it unless you understand how to use it, especially if you're going to post a reel on the internet and post bad information. So first of all, the thing is, if you bother to click through to see who Brown, I know it's been shared somewhere, but if you click through to see who Brown Car Guy is, and you will see that he's a motoring journalist and that he's assessing cars, and the reel is part of the content that he produces. But secondly, this thing, don't drive it. So there's some kind of elitism now coming into the EV world. You know, don't drive an EV if you're not worthy enough. It's just a car, all right? Like all cars. I've driven everything, all right? Nico, hang on, let me see what these were. Nico Comas said to Gavin Simmons, because there's a lot of back and forth now going on this Facebook post, I think you're giving the general public way too much credit, man. I work at a hospital and spoke with 11 employees who all own electric vehicles. Rivians, Tesla, and an EV Wind. Three doctors, a neurosurgeon, several surgical. Not a single one of them knew what preconditioning their car was referring to. All of these people are significantly more intelligent than the average person. Thank you, Nico. Thank you. And you've just proven my point. It's like, you know, no, car should be intuitive. You should know what to do, you know, and, you know, maybe somebody should have told you that you can precondition it, but maybe that doesn't apply in all situations and to all people, you know. So that's, you know, Gavin responds to the guy. In my experience, the more intelligent an individual is, the less inclined they are to listen to a car salesperson when collecting a car. People assume that a car is a car, but technology moves on and every day is a school day. Every day is a school day, but a car is a car. Paul Griffin said to Gavin Simmons, precondition your car. Do we work for the cars or do they work for us? You assume that wherever you park, you'll be plugged in. I get in my ICE vehicle and I have heat or air whenever I want. Enjoy your lives being controlled by Elon, your king. There's a lot of Elon Musk worship that goes on in these EV groups, you know. We'll come back to that in a minute. So that was that response. And yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair response as well. Kevin Perry. Then can you work out how much you pollute out of the toxic exhaust in a petrol car in comparison to me doing the same miles in my Tesla? Kevin Perry again. Because you have a rubbish EV. That car does not have a heat pump. If it does, it's rubbish. Go and do the same in a Tesla. It has the most advanced heat pump you can get. It loses virtually zero because of the heat, and the AC comes from the pump. Get more educated on them before you post. Wow. This is another one of those things where it's like, oh, you're not allowed to post anything unless you're a genius and you know everything there is to know about these cars. I'm a motoring journalist. I spent 35 years covering the industry and covering cars. I don't know everything about them, and that's the wonderful thing. But also, I share my experiences with my audience. I think that's part of the learning process that we're all on, especially when it comes to transitioning to new technology. But again, this assumption that it must be a rubber shoe. I didn't even mention what car it was. I didn't actually say in that post what car it was. I never mentioned that this is in fact a brand new car from one of the biggest car manufacturers in the world, significantly bigger than Tesla. I gotta say, Tesla, I'm not particularly a big fan. The only thing I like about Elon is SpaceX, because I'm, you know, as you can see, huge sci-fi fan. So I like the SpaceX thing. And also, the only thing I can relate to him on is the fact that he's got the Lotus Esprit out of the Spy Who Loved Me. He's actually got the car itself. And he promised to turn it into a submarine. I don't know if he's done it yet. But let me tell you one thing. He's not Tony Stark. So all those people that hero worship the heck out of Elon Musk, you know, I mean, you know, he's a businessman done good. All right, let's just be honest about this, okay? And Teslas, they have their merits, but they're not the best cars out there. So, you know, and but the biggest merit that Tesla do have is they made electric cars sexy and desirable and glamorous. So that's where, you know, the real credit lies. But car manufacturers, legacy car manufacturers, have a lot more experience doing building cars. And certainly electric cars are a new technology. Again, some people did actually try to just answer the question. Scott Collet, about the same percentage. Unlike heating, AC isn't a byproduct of burning fuel. Energy is energy. Fair enough. Sven Mecklenburg, AC in a petrol car, AC will take average of 7 kilowatts of power from the engine. My Mustang, the liter by 100 kilometer per consumption will go up from 10.5 to 11.8 liters per 100 kilometer. Very useful information. Thank you very much. David Spurdell, AC in most cars is 2 to 3 miles per gallon, and if flat out, up to 5 to 7 miles per gallon. So between 30 and 60 miles. So yeah, reasonable answer. So thank you for all those people that took time to understand that that was a genuine point of inquiry, and they took time to actually respond, both on Facebook and YouTube, and a few also on Instagram and TikTok. So thank you very much. But the other people, Paul Frost, for example, simply commented again on Facebook, "Do you need medication?" No, I have asked a question. Why should I need medication? And then you have people that just jump on the whole EV thing. They're like, milk floats, waste of time, says Robert Walker. Michael Willis, the great electric con. You know, and a load of Trig Hellander, EVs must suck arse. Barry Donacci, ah, so EVs actually have AC. I just thought they got so hot they burst into flames. To be fair, that's funny. But, you know, it's a misguided misconception. You know, the reality is that, what was it? I got a figure yesterday. They are 20 times less likely to catch fire than an internal combustion engine car. That's from Sweden. That's information is from Sweden. And then the information from America, the Insurance Institute of America, is that 25 EVs out of 100,000 cars sold, 100,000 EVs sold, only 25 were reported to have caught fire, compared to 1,500 plus petrol cars out of 100,000. So you can see there's a significant difference there. The only trouble with the EVs, of course, is that when they do catch fire, it's pretty spectacular, and of course they're almost impossible to put out. So that's the only problem. So that's where the issue is, you know. Ian Morgan, I call BS. I know many EV drivers, including myself, have never seen or heard of anything like this. Climate control takes a very small amount of power compared to actual driving. Well, it was what it was, but as I've clarified, you know, yesterday I found it different. But I think that particular situation, maybe because the car was static, maybe because it was incredibly hot, and when I got in the car was very hot, then maybe that's why it made a difference. Just to update you on this, I'm now up to 63% on this car, so whilst I've been talking to you, and what are we talking about, 18 minutes now? And 145 mile range, it says 50 minutes to a full charge now. Interesting. So these are petrol guys going now, or petrol and diesel guys going now, that my car is so much better than an EV. Mike Howard, for example, says, your first mistake was buying an EV. Your second mistake is that you really believe it's better for the environment than a conventional combustion engine. Wake up and look at the facts. And then I said to Mike, this is again, must have been an early one, because I responded and I said, this is not my car. And then Michael Martin says, brown car guy, not your car, that explains it all. Do you tell them that you use their car for viral hate reels to ignorant morons? So it's not a viral hate reel. Again, I don't know where this has been shared and what kind of group where they've gone, you know, or the knickers in a twist, quite frankly. But it's not the same response that I got from the other three platforms that I posted on. It's just on Facebook for some reason that I got this, you know. Michael Martin did post another comment. Just another reel aimed at angry drivers who think their lives are coming to an end because of electric cars. I'd say you change the setting to get the 30-mile diff, considering it costs much less to charge to get 30 miles back. It's an inconsequential number and therefore irrelevant. I didn't change any settings. What you saw on the video is what you saw. I didn't edit the video. It was literally like there and there. Look at the difference. I don't do that, you know. There was one more. Okay, this was again another early one. This was Mark Hallows, who said, laugh my ass off. Well-known fact, your AC in any car and your MPG drops through the floor. So gasp, shock, horror when it does the same in an EV. Interesting. But again, you know, this was one of the early ones, so I don't know why I responded to that one. I think you are insinuating something, but it's a genuine question. I'm just curious as to what the comparison would be. To be fair to Mark Hallows, he did come back and he kind of like, I think he had a much different tone and he was like, brown car guy, no comparison. And yes, I was a little. So, you know, it is very transparent with EVs that they lose range in cold weather and if you run lots of stuff, but the tech, heat pumps for AC and heating are already light years ahead of previous tech. And even though I've never had an issue with EV range, been across Europe many times, they will really hit the mass adoption curve when the chemistries improve and range hits 400 to 500 miles. Yeah, that's quite right. Actually, that's a very, very reasonable response there. Thank you very much. Now, so what do we learn from this? There's a couple. I think there's three things that we actually learn from something like this scenario that happens on that happened in this particular post on Facebook, and it's still going strong. So if you want to go check it out, it's right there. I may even put the link below if I can. I don't know. So first of all, one thing I think that is very, very apparent, and this is not just from this post, but generally and other stuff that I've done, for example, you know, some of the events and conferences that I've run as well. The EV discussion is so polarizing. You know, you either absolutely are an EV angelist, as I call them, like you will not hear a bad word against them, or you absolutely detest them and you think they're the spawn of the devil. You know, and you know, it's absolutely crazy. And it's just like, you just can't meet in the middle. You're either on this side or you're on this side. The trouble for people like me is I'm in the middle. You know, I'm right down the middle here. I'm just assessing them as any other car. I'm a motoring journalist. I'm just doing my job, as most motoring journalists are. They're like, okay, it's a new car. It's a new product. Let's test it. Let's see what it can do. Let's see what it can't do. Every single car has pros and cons. Every single car has good bits and bad bits. That applies to petrol and diesel cars as well. You know, so we've all, and as motoring journalists, we've all said, oh, look at that, that's good, that really works. And oh, look at that, that may be of an issue, that's not so good. You know, that's what we do. And we're doing the same with EVs. It's not like we're trying to put EVs down, we're just like, okay, well, this works, this doesn't. And don't forget, EVs is a nascent technology. It's still new, it's still fresh, they're still teething troubles, not only with EVs, but, you know, with the lifestyle and the charging infrastructure around EVs. Second point that I said that I realized from this is that, and this is particularly for EV angelists, is that they are so sensitive and so defensive. So even when you're not trying to imply anything, they jump on you. It's like you've insulted their child. It's like, what? It's like, no, I didn't mean that. It's not what I was saying. You know, you have to go like, whoa, 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 guys, whoa, hang on. I'm just asking a question here. Why do you have to go so defensive for? Why do you have to jump on me? It's not that. But that's generally a case with a lot of these. It's just like they immediately jump to the conclusion that you're EV bashing. I'm like, no, it's not a sport. It's not, you know, it's just, you know, I'm just looking at the critical aspects of owning, running, driving a vehicle. That's what I do. That's my profession. So, you know, so I don't know. They got chill. Guys, chill. And this brings me to my third point, is that this attitude is really not going to help. It's not going to help your cause. That's for sure. When you have on the other side, people that absolutely detest, and there's so much information out there in the media, which is probably setting up the wrong perceptions about EVs in terms of they all explode and burn and the range is crap and you can't charge. And there's lots of discussions, there's lots of questions that need to be asked. Lots of people have genuine concerns. You know, it's my job as a journalist to address those concerns, you know, and talk to people. And I have to remain open-minded and listen to all of these concerns. And I think that it would really help people that are pro-EV and proponents of EV to also be a little bit open-minded and be a bit more sensitive and to listen to these concerns and issues which are genuine and try to understand where people are coming from and go, all right, okay, not just always answer, well, it works for me, well, I can do it, well, I've read the manual, well, I've done 5,000 miles on mine and I was fine. It's like, okay, it was fine for you, But, and this is where it's different for me, is because for me, from my career, what I've done is I always try to put, you know, wear the other person's shoes. I always try to empathize and understand, well, what's your scenario? What's your situation? What would work for you? You know, what's particular issues that you have? Let me see if I can address them, you know? And it's not good to just say, well, it worked for me, so it should work for you. And if it doesn't, then the problem is with you. And it's like, well, it doesn't really work like that, you know? A car is supposed to be something that's convenient. They're supposed to be pride and joys, but they're also supposed to be convenient and useful and something that is good for us in our daily lives. So the discussion, as I think the third thing that to remember here is that we need to raise the level of this discussion, and we need to raise it from just children shouting in the playground. You know, I think that we need to start to become more mature and more pragmatic about it, and to look at the day-to-day realities of people, how they live and how they use these cars and how they need to use these cars, and what would we need to do in order to help people adopt the cars, if the car is right for them. And in some cases, we have to accept, EV people have to accept that EV is not, especially not in its current state, in its current form, and with the current infrastructure, it's not necessarily right for everybody. You just have to accept it. You can't just force it down everybody's throat. You gotta say, well, okay, well, in your particular set of circumstances, it's not quite ready for you yet, or you're not quite ready for it, one way or the other. But in many other cases, you could look at the situation and go, actually, well, you know what? It can work for you. It could be all right, but this is what you need to do, or maybe try this. If it doesn't, fine, you know, go for petrol, go for diesel. The choices are there. For me, one of the great things about the automotive industry right now is that there's choice. And choice is a good thing. You know, it's good to have choice about whether you want to have a petrol car because you like to hear the engine noise, whether you need a diesel car because you have a long distance to cover that you do regularly as part of your work or whatever, or that you get an electric car because you live in town, you just go to the shops, and actually that works out just fine for you because you can charge at home. You know, a lot of these questions need to be openly discussed, and we need to bring a level of maturity and raise the level of this conversation rather than just people shouting each other and just calling each other morons. Anyway, I'm sure that I'm going to be called moron many more times, both in the comments in this video and elsewhere, but almost with some trepidation, I am saying I look forward to hearing your comments on this video, and I'll chat with you guys again soon. Meanwhile, just to update you, 74% charge now, 160 mile range, it's still saying 40 minutes to full charge. So this is what happens with EVs, is that, you know, they get to about that 80%, are coming up to the 80%, and then they slow down. So it's definitely slowed down a little bit now. But anyway, that's the this is the Toyota BZ4X. I keep forgetting the name of this car. Review on this coming. Review on the BYD is now live, and I'll catch you all again soon in the next video. Brown car
guy. Hope you enjoyed that video. If you did, please hit the like button and share this video as well if you can. And while you're at it, check out these guys who also sponsor my content. I am deeply grateful to them because it helps me to buy new equipment, put fuel in the cars, and yes, buy a cup of coffee. You can do the same. Just go here or right here on YouTube. Just hit these three little dots down here and click on thanks. Make sure you're signed in first. My content is free, but this is how you can help me keep it that way. I may even send you a gift. Oh, by the way, watch this next.